Amen. Verse 6, for unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. Name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice, from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. This particular statement, or the reading here that I'm reading, is really talking about the government of God, and it's a prophetic word concerning the government of God. We're living in what I call a prophetic time right now, and that's why I call it advancing of the kingdom. We're living in a time now that what Jesus spoke about in prayer. He said, pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And he talks here about a government. He said, the government shall be upon his shoulder. Then he goes on down and he says in verse 7, in the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Now, this government is this kingdom that Jesus came to reintroduce. It was in the Garden of Eden, and I can say that this particular teaching is something that has absolutely revolutionized my life, because I was brought up in a denominational setting when I was a kid. And, you know, it was a Baptist, traditional Baptist setting. And I really didn't understand kingdom. I understood denomination. And I could see that the preaching, as I look back, for the most part, was preaching from a denominational perspective. And with that, it's sometimes has its own uniqueness that, you know, we believe this, but, you know, we believe that, and we believe other things. And it's kind of like a smorgasbord. It's like, we got all these things out here, and you can believe this, or you can take some of that. And you'll find that it didn't take us but so far. And like one scripture says, you heal my people slightly. And that we couldn't get all the way to where we should get, or how we should be operating, or how the church should be influencing the earth, because we weren't committed and lined up with the way God does things. And so in these last days now, this idea of the kingdom is coming forth. And I started preaching it. I must have received this probably when I got to Chicago, and that was, we started the church in 1989, and started teaching it then, because I didn't have the insight that I have today. But it's led me to understand that there's a government here that God has put and wants to establish in this earth. And the church is a part of the kingdom and an arm that the government of God uses to enforce or establish this new kingdom here in this earth. Now, this kingdom is different because it has one king. And when you're talking about that, you're talking about this ruler that is over this entire kingdom. So I like what Pastor Bob said about, you know, there's no voting that goes on. And now, you know, he said that, and I don't know how many people took that to the weight that it should be taken. But this idea of the kingdom is so powerful, but it demands that you pretty much let go or repent of some of the things and ways that you and I have been thinking and operating in church, and be willing to surrender ourselves to a whole new government, the government of the kingdom of God. Now, one thing happens when you get born again. You're born again into that kingdom. But once you get in that kingdom, you've got to learn how to live there, because those are two different things. And a lot of people get to the door of the kingdom, and that's as far as they go. But now there's various attributes of that kingdom that you and I have to learn to live and live under, that Jesus taught about. And if you go in the scriptures and look at the New Testament, he just started teaching, so is the kingdom of God, so is the kingdom of God, so forth and so on. So the government of God, the type of government that we're talking about, is a theocracy. And it is where you have God as the ruler of this government. Jesus was setting up his kingdom, a messianic kingdom. And most of what he preached was around that, acquainting them with this new kingdom. To call Jesus Lord requires a renouncing of self-rule and independence from this government, or renouncing of it, the independence from it, and to acknowledge the fact that someone else now is coming in to help and direct our lives. And we have to do this. And I think once you know this and surrender to it, then a lot of the things that are benefits of the kingdom will begin to operate in our lives. Personally, I didn't know that a church could own a shopping mall. I didn't know that. But once I got the kingdom in me, then I began to understand it. Personally, I thought that you go to church on Sunday and live like hell on Monday. But once I got the kingdom in me, I found that the kingdom of God is within me, and that everywhere I go, I represent church. I can pray anywhere, phone booth, bathroom, anywhere. It doesn't make any difference. And that this whole kingdom begins to consume my life. Person was telling me about this guy, Gaddafi. I'm sure you've been hearing about him. But one year he gave $1 billion to the Muslim clerics or whatever to start mosque in the United States. Now notice what he did. He didn't separate the kingdom from his duty to support the kingdom or his part in the kingdom. In other words, if you know anything, I went over to Uganda one time, and here I was arriving at night, late at night. We went to the hotel. A pastor took me to the hotel. And the gentleman behind the counter said, "Praise the Lord." And, you know, I thought he was trying to be funny. I was going to be funny, too. I said, "Praise the Lord." And I got upstairs and asked the pastor, I said, "Why is he saying praise the Lord like that? I mean, quiet like that." He said, "Well, if he said it loud, the Muslims own this hotel, they're firing." He said, "When people don't convert to their faith, they don't want to hire them." And I saw that, and I said, during the daytime, it came down and so forth. And I mean, when it's time for prayer, they just shut everything down, get the rug down, put it on the floor, and bow down and begin to worship their God. So their God was never separated from their business. So then I began to make new discoveries. I began to see that there are these mountains of spheres of influence. And I had Lance Waldo to come here and preach to bring some of that out. And I saw there were mountains such as religion, family, education, government, media, arts and entertainment, and business. Seven mountains, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 9, verse 1, that God has hewed out seven mountains. Well, let's go over there real quick. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 1. The more you learn of this, he said, to him he ears, let him hear. And then he says, to those who hear shall more be added. So I've gone pretty far down the road in this whole concept, understanding the kingdom. It said in verse 9, chapter 9, verse 1, wisdom has builded her house, and she has hewed out seven pillars. Well, what do pillars do? Pillars hold up a structure. So society has to have pillars. God knew that, and that's why he did it. The devil just copied it, because he doesn't create anything. And so now he's taken over those seven mountains. Now, those seven mountains then are represented over here in Luke chapter 4. Flip over there, please. Luke chapter 4. And it says here in verse 5, and the devil taken him up to a high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, all this power will I give you and the glory of them, for they are delivered unto me and to whomsoever I will give it. If thou therefore will worship me, all shall be thine. Kind of interesting what he's trying to do to Jesus. He's trying to give him something. And I said last night, don't let the devil give you anything. We're here to take it. And you're going to have the faith that takes and not the faith that waits. And we're going to talk a little bit about that before it's all over with. So what is happening here is that the enemy comes in. He comes in with a new system called Babylon. Babylon is a society trying to meet its needs without God. So he wants God out of the family, out of religion, out of education, out of the government, out of arts and entertainment, out of media. He wants it out of business. And if you'll go and do an examination and really get into transformation as far as business is concerned, you'll find that God gives you a gift of business. Entrepreneurship is a gift. It's an apostolic calling. And God will give you that. And as you work that gift, actually your gift, your work becomes worship. And so I'm saying all these you can't see unless you get down this road. Now I'm going to try to talk about some of those. And so I began to see how the enemy here has taken Jesus to a high mountain. He's shown him. So the enemy's job is to take the mountain and occupy that particular mountain. Now, the enemy has given high places to whomever he will. He has done that because whoever occupies the top of that mountain controls the mountain. And so what he's trying to do is he's trying to get the family broken up. So it won't be Adam and Eve anymore, Adam and Steve, you won't. And there was only one wife in the Genesis. I mean, in the garden. I'm just saying there's a restoration is taking place. God is showing some things. Now, as you look at this, the enemy usually picks those who are thinking and ideas are conducive to bring or to manipulate or ones that he can manage to put them in these places. And because of spiritual blindness, they think they have control, but they don't. And so now they're at the top of these mountains occupying them. Now, advancing the kingdom has to do with us taking control of the mountain. And this is a mountain, including the mountain of economics, that we're going to take control of it. And so as you look at this, that the kingdom of God means having someone rule over us or having some real king. And in the Old Testament, it said in 1 Samuel chapter 10, that they rejected God to be their leader or their king. And they wanted a person, wanted a man. So God chose one, Saul. Saul, as you know, was head and shoulders. This is natural ability and intellect above everybody that was there. And God gave him a king, gave him one that he wanted. So I'm saying here that now part of our job is going to be able to take this mountain. Now, God plants us places. Let's go to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13, please. God deliberately plants the righteous among the wicked. God deliberately plants the righteous among the wicked. And he does it because I'm going to show you this in certain terms of what our job is, a part of our purpose. Verse 31, and another parable put he forth to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. That's Matthew 13, starting in verse 31 and 32. So here is a seed that comes, that's planted in a field. I call the field the harvest time, harvest field, meaning that the world. And as this seed is planted in the world, this seed is planted, and it's the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it becomes the greatest. It becomes the greatest influence that we have that is existing in that place. We came in this Forest Park village, and we came in here really as a seed. We came from Lake and Pulaski, which we went there first and watched God do miraculous things. God then, because we're faithful over a few things, now he's going to move us. And so a lady came and told me, said, Pastor, I saw a little place up in a place called Forest Park. It looks like a nice place we could have our services. I said, where is Forest Park? And so she told me, and I said, nah, you know, you've been eating too much pizza or something. I just kind of brushed it out. Because, you know, I'm trying to do things my way. See, I'm looking down Pulaski Road thinking that that's where God's going to keep us. He's going to come. It's right there on that west side, right on Pulaski Road. But I was wrong. And here again, Jesus has got to be Lord, because he's going to conduct you and put you exactly where he wants you to be for a reason. And so what happened was here, I came up here and finally looked at the place. I got the realtor to show us the place over there on Madison Street. I walked in there, and the moment I walked in there, I heard God's voice just as clear as I hear my own prayer. He said, take it. Now, I didn't have any take it money, so I'm trying to figure out what's up here. So what happened is I gave it a couple of weeks, and this voice was with me. So I went back and I announced to the congregation, we're moving. I said, we're moving in 2 weeks. Wasn't it 2 weeks, maybe, that I said? I said, we're moving in 2 weeks. And people said, where are we moving? I said, we're moving to Forest Park. Forest Park. So half of them claimed they weren't called to Forest Park. You got what I'm saying here now? But in the theocracy of God, there's only one leader. There's only one leader. And I'm gonna tell you, that leader has got to be bold. Because if you got any weakness in you today, the devil's gonna find it. Not absolute, but he can. So remember, on the way up the mountain, whatever you compromise on the way up is going to control you at the top. So you can't compromise anything. So said, okay. So what happened? Money started coming in. Just started coming in. Now understand, people who didn't go to the church heard something and sent money in. Am I right about it, baby? I just confirmed with my wife. Just want to make sure I stay on track. Amen. She sometimes at home, she corrects me. Sweetheart, you know, you said it was five. It was really three. That's it. May the Lord bless you. And so, anyway, amen. She just wants it. I mean, that's a good woman there. Okay, but anyway. But my point is, here we are, money comes in, boom, we move to Forest Park. Start having services here. I understand, now I gotta work the kingdom principles. But the foundation of a kingdom principle working is sowing and reaping. The sower soweth the word. The Word of God is the controlling element of anything around you. It'll control everything. You stand on the Word, everything around you must change to line up with it. And so what happened was we start confessing that we have three services full, people standing in line waiting on the next service. And before we moved from that place, three services full, somebody talked about it last night. We have one on one level, another level, people in the basement full, people overrunning people. I look at pictures today, they're just like sardines in a can, just looking for the Word of God, and putting that Word of God out there. Now understand, I didn't know anybody else in Chicago preaching faith. One man over there on the south side was preaching some kind of faith and so forth. But I'm putting this stuff out there. And I don't care who doesn't like it. I'm putting it out there just like I'm telling you. I'm preaching the Word of God. So here's three people lined up down the hallway, down the street, on sidewalk, waiting on the next service. And now the village is closing in on me. He said, hey, why are you? This is what they said to me. If we had known you were going to grow like this, we never would have let you in here. Well, I'm that mustard seed. I came in here. Not only that, faithful over that, moved it to a bigger place across the street, 800 people per service, outgrew that. God showed me the mall, said, buy them all. I understand that's when I begin to start putting together Isaiah 48:17. I am the Lord thy God, the Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, that teacheth thee to profit. I'll lead you by the way that you should go. God is interested in profit. Say amen to that.
Amen.
And so what happened? Begin to put the business side together to this and understand, so forth and so on. Now, I'm only saying that now as the influence has come in the village, with the biggest landholders in the village, and that the mayor and, as you know, and all the people, you've changed people up there now, and the mayor is very close to us in the church, comes here sometimes for services, so forth and so on, and ask us to help him do various things around the village. I'm just talking about the influence of the church that the church should have. So God plants you in your city for a reason, because he wants to bring your city under kingdom jurisdiction. He wants to make it sure that things that are going on, the things that the enemy has done in those cities are overturned by the Word of God. Now, what it looks like sometimes in kingdom principles is it looks like nothing is happening, because you got to understand that somehow the enemy tries to make people think that hate is stronger than love. Come on now. Or lying is stronger than integrity. But you'll find that if you practice the principles of the kingdom of God, that the power of God comes with them. And else that kingdom will enable you to do great and great mighty things and be a tremendous influence. So this particular tree grew up to be one of the greatest influences in that kingdom. Let's talk a little bit more about Babylon and what Babylon is up to here. Now again, let's go to Daniel, please, in Daniel chapter 1. Let's start there first. Daniel was now being used by God . As you know, in Daniel chapter 1, it says that the king, Nebuchadnezzar, came down and he took Judah and he got the children. Look at verse 4. Let's just read there. Let's read verse 3. I'll read verse 3 and just follow along. And the king spake unto Asphanez, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well-favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning in knowledge and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. Now this is interesting, because this is a pattern of the wicked one. And the wicked one comes in and he tries to get the best and most productive group. He tries to go after, first of all, young folk. Tries to go after the youth, and because one, he finds them to be more teachable, but there's more longevity, everything else. He tries to also go after people who are talented. Everybody that's sleeping in church, he leaves them. He just wants to get those. He also brings them in to create a dependency upon his system, offering all kinds of benefits and things to make them dependent forever on his system. And he does not focus in on morality. You'll find that anytime godly teachings come into a Babylonian environment, that the Babylonian spirit, the power of that spirit, ceases to function properly. That's why he wants no God in whatever we're doing. None. And when you come in and you begin to add God in it, his system ceases to work like it should. Also, he has no regard for the poor. And you'll see the pattern of this right here. He left them right there. Left the poor right there. Now it says here that, verse 17, as for these four children, he's talking about the three Hebrews and Daniel, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now, this is kind of interesting here because you know, you don't have to take my word for it. Just look it up yourself. I said that God deliberately plants the righteous among the wicked. Now, the most way he gets them in there is he smuggles them in. Because they knew that we had all that we had, like he said, like the building commissioner said, we never would have let you in here. He said, if we knew that you were going to grow this big, we never would have let you in here. Now, that's true. They never would have let us in here, but they didn't know that. And sometimes God puts your parishioners, your congregation, he puts one of your congregants in a particular company. But understand, they're there for a purpose. But if they're faithful over what God gives them, God will make them ruler in that company. And you got to remember that it's God who promotes. Mankind, we don't see... like I shared with you last night, God is not my source, not just my source. He's my only source. And if you look at that, then you won't have to get mad at somebody when you don't get promoted. What you have to understand is that there's a higher authority that has you and your destiny already planned out. And that nobody can stop me from reaching my destiny but me. It doesn't make any difference who it is. And anytime you start blaming, you start losing power.
That's good.
I don't care what happened. Just you don't, because you don't take a gun to court. You take the one who used the gun. People are only instruments. The one behind it is the devil. You got what I'm saying? So we're not trying to beat the system. We are the system. And so we're coming in not to improve the economy, but to displace it. We're coming in with a whole new economy. Joseph came in with a whole new economy. So I'm saying there are ways that somehow the world does things that we don't have to do them that way because we're representatives of the kingdom. Let me just give you a couple of things that I put down here. In the book of Micah, chapter 4, verse 9, he says, is there any king in you? Over in Matthew, chapter 7, he says, who do the kings of the earth command customs? Of the children or of strangers? So he was calling them kings. So over in 1 John chapter 4, verse 17, he says, as he is, so are you in this world. In Ephesians 2 and 6, he said, you are seated with him in heavenly places. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20, he says, you're ambassadors for Christ. Over in Job chapter 22 and verse 28, he said, you can decree a thing. Over in Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 4, he says, where the Lord, word of the Lord is, there is what? Power. And I'm saying that all these things to me begin to paint a new picture of who I am. I am part of, glory to God, of a new dynasty. I'm a part of a race of kings. Folks, now let me tell you something. This has gone, you know, this is more than a seed inside of me. This thing has consumed me. Because I know, see, identity, I came to the military and I had a top secret clearance. And I realized that there are places that I could put my thumb that would make a huge door open. Got it? If you know who you are, some big doors will open for you. And a lot of God's people haven't really realized who they are. And as a result of that, many big doors haven't been opened. So I'm saying coming back to this kingdom, understanding things from a kingdom perspective will drive a new, it'll lead you into a new destiny in your life. Now, in Daniel chapter 2 is where the king had a dream and Daniel had to tell him that dream. And of course, I think some of you are familiar with this particular teaching. And it talked about here what the king had dreamed a dream and Daniel went and told him what the dream meant. Verse 31, he said, thou king sawest and behold a great image, an image whose brightness was excellent and stood before thee and the form thereof was terrible. And the image's head was of gold and arms of silver and belly and thighs of brass, the legs of iron, so forth and so on. Verse 34 first. Thou sawest till that a stone was cut out without hands. Now that represented the messianic kingdom really it was a divine kingdom. It wasn't with human ability that this kingdom came about. And it smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay and brake them in pieces. And then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken in pieces together and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors. And the wind carried them away, and there was no place found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain, and it filled the whole earth. Going down to verse 44. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom, which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall be left to other people. But it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Now, this is what Daniel saw. Now, the Bible says in Daniel 1:20, he said that the children of God were 10 times better than the people of the world. And we confess that over our youth. I didn't bring the paper now. Our youth are going from our elementary school into other schools, some of the top high schools in this area. They just sent me another paper, just got it in my mail last night. A bunch of our students, maybe eight, just about all of them on the A honor rolls, those students. Most of these students are African-American students. Now, I'm saying something here. I'm saying that there is a new level that the people of God can flow that is beyond the natural level that we have. Let me see, I put my notes right back down here. I just try to remember where they were. Amen. I put here, the kingdom of God is big business. Oh, I like that. The business of the kingdom takes faith. And this is a piece that now I teach because I think the people of God need to understand that all these principles and all these things that are going to operate are going to be operating by faith. Let's cut a couple more things and we'll quit. The three Hebrews came to a place where a law was made that they should bow down to this image and worship the golden image. Now, what am I saying? That leads me into my teaching that I've been teaching for quite a while on vengeance and recompense. In the last days, the legal system is going to be one of the number one targets of demonic abuse. Now, I really believe personally that sometimes we're trying to make friends with the Philistines and that we're trying to avoid some confrontation, but a confrontation is coming. And the thing that you got to do, you and I have to do, is we got to make up our mind that Jesus is Lord. Yes, sir. Now, this is a prophetic thing I'm giving you now, because we've been trying to avoid some things. We've been trying to be quiet, been trying to so forth. But we saw what happened when we did that. They took them Bibles out of them schools. Now, the earth is the Lord's, come on, and the fullness thereof. It doesn't belong to the devil nor his family, and they don't run anything here. The church is supposed to run this. But something's got to wake up inside of us. First of all, identity of knowing who we are. Because if we don't know who we are, we'll take anything what somebody says. But we are the most powerful institution in the world ever. Come on, come on. Hold that right there. Hold this right here. Let's go to Joel chapter 2, please. We read it all the time, but I want you to read the rest of it and show you what it says. Joel chapter 2. Now, this is important because there is an end time transfer of wealth that's coming into the house of God. And like Pastor Bob was bringing out, one of the main reasons it's going to be is so that we can finish the work that he's called us to do. All right? And you and I, one of the things about this kingdom of God is it takes us up to a new level of wisdom. I'm done with the world's wisdom. I am done with it. I am no longer there. I'm no longer operating there. I'm telling you, one of the most inspiring things for me, the Bible talks about whose faith follow, was, again, when I went over the first time to see Dr. Bishop David Oyedepo's church over there. I had never seen that many people in a church. I had never seen 55,000 people come on Sunday morning. And now they tell me he just started the fourth service on Sunday morning. He filled up three of them. I knew that. But if you look at it, that is like a logistics problem by itself. Because, Derek, you got to have bathrooms. Come on, help me now. Help me. I'm saying the wisdom of men, it's outrunning the wisdom of men. That we should make up our mind right now that the kingdom of God is another level of power, another level of wisdom, another level of peace, another level of joy. This is a joy that the world cannot experience. And that as we get into this, I saw all those people coming in here and going, and I said, my God. And as you speak, you got to get used to it, because you say something and it takes about a minute for your voice to come back to you. So you got to know what you say, or you'll confuse yourself on the way back. You know what I'm saying? It is huge. Built that university in record time, less than a year. All those buildings and so forth. All those people he's putting up, paying tuition, so forth and so on. I'm talking about by the power of the kingdom. Now, you just talked to him the other day. He said, we just opened officially another university in another part of Nigeria. What is his goal? His goal, he came around and went to Harvard, went to Yale, went to Princeton, and went to Stanford. His goal is to have a school that will equal or better the schools that he went to visit in Africa. Are you following what I'm saying? I'm saying kingdom is what Jesus preached. Because with the kingdom, you can preach this. If you preach in denomination, you can't get here because it doesn't have the same power. So look what it says in Joel chapter 2. And he says something. He says, verse 1, blow ye the trumpet in Zion, sound the alarm, my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh and is nigh at hand. Now the day of the Lord cometh and is nigh at hand. The day of darkness and gloominess, the day of clouds, thick darkness, and the morning, as the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people, a strong, there hath not been ever like, neither shall be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. So there's never been anything like you, and there'll never be anything like you, even to the years of many generations. When you are it, the church, I'll say it again, is the most powerful institution in the world ever. Jesus got your saying back. He got it back so that you, I went out to a conference with Ed Savoso, and they came and brought some people from Newark, New Jersey. And Newark was talking about how they got changed. The way they got changed is through the blessing. They were taught this, and what they did is they would take two people, and walk down the street and bless the neighborhoods. Crack house, blessed. Now you say, well, why would they bless a crack house? Because they're going to bring heaven's blessing down in that house, and whatever's in there that's not of heaven is going to have to leave. And let me tell you, Newark, which was once the murder capital of the United States, now murder's going down to 10% of what it was. Not only that, companies are moving into Newark now, and hotels are coming in. I saw where they got a bunch of money from somebody. Now, all this is happening because of the blessing. Now, where is that blessing? It's on you. How can it be released? By faith. And you can release the blessing and walk in neighborhoods that are torn and ruined, and those neighborhoods will become like the Garden of Eden. Praise God. And I'm telling you, God wants to do that in every city. He wants to not just convert, but transform. Yes, it's time to transform these cities. Yes, and you do that by the power of the blessing of God. Yes, you have that power. Yes. Say amen to that.
Amen.
You have that power if you're in a company to bless that company.
Yes.
Or a person, one of your members, or so forth. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, you can read this by yourself, this part here that has to do with Joel. You can read it by yourself. But God chose each one of us and each one of the people that are members of our congregation. He chose them. We didn't choose him. He chose us. Amen.
Amen.
And no one comes in the earth without a calling. So the callings and giftings are from God and cannot be what? Taken back. So all of this is ours, that it's our time. And the only reason why people are now still suffering is because the people of the kingdom have not come in with this kingdom influence.
Yes, sir.
And done what we're supposed to do. But now is our time.
Amen.
We're going to go in here and do this. Now, here's the deal. Let me just finish this up. So Daniel, the three Hebrews, they were threatened because here was a law made that was unlawful. It was unlawful. It was a law of Babylon, but it was unlawful in the kingdom. All right, let's go to Isaiah 33 and we'll finish up there. Isaiah 33. Woo, glory.
Amen.
Isaiah 33. Let me know when you get to Isaiah 33. Are y'all with me so far?
Yes.
Isaiah 33, look at verse 22. For the Lord is our judge. Glory to God. For the Lord is our lawgiver. Come on. For the Lord is our king. Keep going. And he will deliver us. I don't care what we're going through. He will deliver us. Got it? So those three Hebrews said, wait a minute, the God that we serve, this is what Bob preached last night, the God that we serve, he will deliver us. Are you following what I'm saying? I'm saying in a tight place, understand that your responsibility is to carry out your ambassadorial duty. Yes, sir. And your duty as an ambassador is to say what your government said. Your government said that he will deliver you. Now, I don't care how tight it gets, God can deliver you. And I don't care how short the time is, God can deliver you. But here's the deal. God is Jehovah Jireh. He's the God who sees and provides. Are you following what I'm saying? I'm saying before they got in the fire, the angel was already there. The Lord goes before you. He knows what you're about to go through. He sets up camp waiting for you. And all you've got to do is stay with him. Now, understand, like I told you, it's one of the main targets of demonic abuse in these last days, the legal system. And what God's people got to do is understanding that his kingdom rules over everything. So we got to say what God said. I don't care how tight it looked. I don't care what the doctor just said. I don't care anything. Just say what God said. And do me a favor. Stop trying to look cute. Just when I say that, I mean this. Just don't care what anybody thinks about you. Stop trying to satisfy people and make people like you in this process. Stop trying to make friends with the Philistines. Stop. Come on now. Sometimes your relatives are not going to feel that comfortable. But you got to say what God said and not compromise on the way up that mountain. Because the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our God. That has already been decreed. And he said, my word shall not return to me void. So we're in the days now that the last days are going to fulfill the promises and the things that God has prophetically spoken. Every one of them is going to be fulfilled. And I'm telling you, folks, you can come and sometimes that congregation will influence you and you'll not want to put it out there like it's supposed to be put out there. I told him, I said, hey, we're going to pay off this airplane that I got. So I just said it. We're going to pay off this airplane. Because I went before God. I said, God, what's up with that? He said, why don't you just say what I say? I said, okay. Because I know it's going to take something to say what he said. I know it's going to take, you know, boldness on my part. And because some of the people may not have wanted to have us to have an airplane. Other people don't think it's God's will. And other folk don't care and they don't like me any. You know, I mean, they like me, but as long as I'm saying the right thing. And so forth. So I got to forget all of that. I just got to hook myself up with God and say, okay, I'm your representative. This is a new kingdom. I'm not voting on this. I'm not going by how I feel. I'm just going to come under authority and I'm going to say exactly what you said. He said, you tell them that we're going to pay this airplane off and we're going to pay it off, I think, in 3 months. And this was going on around Christmas time. And I said, Lord have mercy. I said, now, wait a minute. We're talking about a few million dollars. 3 months. We've been trying, you know. He said, you tell them what I said. And I said, and he said, now tell them this. Get an envelope. Told me what color the envelope was, what to put on the front of the envelope. He told me everything. I'm talking about the way the kingdom works. And so what I did, I followed orders. Yes, sir. followed, got the envelope, told them some people question things. I said, shut up, just make the envelope and give me the envelope. Then it was time for them to take that envelope, glory to God. And I said, now, listen, God told me that you don't have to go into your savings, have to go in your Christmas fund, have to go in your food supply, whatever, for this envelope. Take this envelope and we're going to agree in prayer that you are going to fill this envelope up. And we need a few million dollars and this envelope is going to be filled up and we're going to pay that airplane cash. Amen. So they took the envelope. Now, I can tell you right now, a lot doubted. But somewhere, we've got to stop so much just talking. And we've got to take this word and make it work. God never intended for this much preaching to go forth without some demonstration. He never intended that. Every time Jesus finished the principle of preaching, he gave them an opportunity to act on it. So I preached it, gave the envelope to him, said, take it home. And I said, now listen, you may not agree with what I just said. So you may have some issues with that. But I want to tell you of a scripture. It says over in 1 Samuel and chapter 14 and verse 6, yes. It says yes. That the Lord will work for us. Yes. For there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. Now, I'm helping you now. And so I had to let them know that if you don't want to give, God can do just like he did at Lake and Pulaski, have folk to send money in that not even a part of the church because your ugly self didn't want to give. So are you following what I'm saying? Then he said, show them Esther as well. So I had to go in here and find Esther. So Mordecai told Esther, go before the king and get this law reversed. But Esther was kind of dragging her feet. But Mordecai said something in Esther chapter 4, verse 13. Then Mordecai commanded to Esther, think not with thyself that thou shalt escape the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether will hold your peace at this time, then therefore their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come into the kingdom for such a time as this? Esther, girl, you've been raised up. You've been planted here in the middle of a heathen, cigarette smoking, poker playing, beer drinking king. And you've been planted in here for such a time as this. But listen, girl, if you don't want to go in there and deliver us, God will bring deliverance from some other place. Now, understand, I got to be bold to say that. We got to stop trying to be so. Tell it like it is. Let it out there. And so I spoke it. When I spoke it and declared that money is ours, we've got it, that airplane is purchased, miracles begin to happen. People coming to me, some were telling me how that $1,000 came in and they had tears in their eyes as they told me. They never thought God loved them that much. They never thought they could have that kind of faith. Yes, and so, because if they had it, they could have had it to help pay them bills off that they've got. Yes, so look at God teaching them. And then the next thing, I got a call from the owners of this airplane. Says, hey, how much y'all got right now?
Come on.
We said, well, we got, Bloom. He said, well, let me ask you, you got 3 million? And we said, no, we not gonna give you 3 million. We don't have that right now. We collect it, but we don't have it in-house right now. He said, well, what you got? We said, well, what do you want for the airplane? He said, well, make me an offer. We said, okay. She called me, Latasha called me. I said, tell him 1.5 million. Now, I understand they wanted 6 at the top. I said, tell him 1.5 million. See, when you're walking with God, favor start coming. See, I got to help you now because you've allowed something to intimidate you. And I break that spirit off of your life starting right now. Right now. The God that you serve will deliver you. So what did I do? I said, tell him 1.5 million. She called him back and he said, wait a minute. Now, wait, I can't tell the boss man that. You telling me 1.5 million? She said, tell it. He went back and told the boss man 1.5 million. We got a call back. He said, the boss man said, if you can get him 1.5 million in 3 days, you got it. She said, you got it. Yes, sir. Boom, boom, boom. Now, what am I saying? You don't know how God's going to solve this, but you do know what he's going to do. He will always confirm what he spoke. Now that's what we need. And when you got that working in your ministry, I'm telling you, it's supposed to be no more coercion for people to come into the house of God. They supposed to be drawn in here just like a magnet. They supposed to be lined up at the door waiting to get in because people are getting airplanes, healings, marriage back together, kids saved. They supposed to see it. Give God praise. I'm done with that thing. This is where we're going. No more. No more compromise. No more intimidation. Sit down for just a moment. Now, I had to get that out. That thing was in me. I was trying to be cool up here. No, no, no. The reason why you're here is we're stirring up that spirit. Yes. Timothy got so weak, he had to take medicine. And I'm just saying that understand there were some other factors behind that. But Paul said to you, no, let me lay hands on you. Get yourself together, man. Your grandmama had faith. Your mama had faith. God has not given you the spirit of fear, of intimidation, but of power. Come on. Love, come on, and a sound mind. I'm telling you, folks, you start that and the power kicks in. And anything that's wrong with your body got to get out because the anointing of God gets so strong on you. Say amen to that. Now, this is where we're going. You're coming here. We're going to stir up something in you while you're here. So just brace up and get ready to take it. Because I'm going to give it to you just like it is, straight with no chaser. Jack, I'm gonna load you up. You're going to walk back in your church and say, come on, who is up in here? Ah, come on. You're going to be willing to fight that lion and that bear and take that Philistine Goliath. Say amen to that. Give Pastor Bob a hand and thank you for the word. I am only adding to what he was teaching because that was a powerful message. I'm just only adding another part to that. You'll have to brace up under this. Anytime you're dealing with the Holy Ghost, you're going to have to be bold because he is bold as a 6-shooter. He doesn't care what anybody thinks. Remember that day that we got the testimony on tape, 2 ladies witnessing on Saturday. We go out every Saturday here. And they came up in the west side there, came up to a man. And he is all dressed up, fancy. And they said, excuse me, could we talk to you for a minute? Said, yeah, what do y'all want? You know, he's looking them over, you know. They said, do you know Jesus? Do I know Jesus? Do you know who I am? I'm chief of the Four Corner Hustlers. I move from place to place. See that Mercedes over there? They're watching me. See that one over there? They got my back. See that one there? They got me covered. You know who you're talking to? They said, well, let us just shake your hand. Shook his hand. Power of God hit him. Fell out. Boom! On the street. Mercedes pulled up from everywhere. God, they came in. They said, what'd you do to him? What? Said, nothing. He'd land on the sidewalk like this here. They said this, the Lord has arrested him. And that's the truth. See, if it had been two men, they might have shot. But I'm telling you, God can send out two women. Oh, glory to God. That brother got up and received Jesus Christ. Why? Because you are not going to advance the kingdom without power. Amen. You're not going to do it. The devil only respects power. Give the Lord a praise. That's all we got. Praise God. Woo-wee! Okay. Can I say what I'm about to say? I decree miracles in your ministry. Around the world into your ministry. I decree no deficits in your ministry. I decree supernatural healing and deliverance in your ministry. And everything that's been bugging you will be cut off. In the name of Jesus, I decree. Hey! Yeah, give him praise because it's coming right now. Receive. Receive. See, that word is stirring you up now. You're ready to receive the supernatural right now. All right, let me just give you instructions. Sit down a minute. So we are now going into, where are we? Praise the Lord.